Part 2. A World Gone Blind. Chapter 6. The Last Man on Terra. Amit. A demon was born in the moment a queen died, poisoned by the king she loved. As she sighed out her last breath, tangled in blood-patterned silk sheets, the demon gave its birth cry in the realm behind reality. The queen's lost soul, ripped from her body into the seething warp, was the first thing this demon ever devoured. There was, arguably, a bleak poetry in that. History, that ravening liar, would come to swallow the names of the treacherous king and the queen he betrayed. Cosmically, their reign meant nothing, just two humans in a species of swarming quintillions, ruling over yet another empire of moral conceits on yet another world turning in the endless dark. The true impact of their lives was with the midnight murder, with the war that followed the murder, and with the plague that followed the war. So much suffering from a thimbleful of herbs in a single cup of wine. The creature born from their actions didn't know the names of those responsible for its genesis. Treachery was its real father, sickness its true mother. It grew behind the veil that separated reality and unreality, taking shape in the tides. There were governing laws within this boiling warp, but they resembled nothing of material physics. Time didn't exist there. The demon grew. Awareness bloomed. Strength blossomed with it. The creature was given names by the cults that rose to worship it, as well as the men and women of supposed piety that sought to destroy it. It took the names, the worship, and the hatred as its due. The timelessness ended at a point between forever and never. The demon manifested on a world once called Earth, now called Terra. It was drawn with numberless hosts of its kin to shriek their disgust and rage at the broken walls of an embattled emperor. The creature's entire timeless existence had led to this moment. At last, the demon could bring its breed of torment to the waking world. A dream, no more. It tore its way from the warp and into reality. Its hands were nine-jointed talons, fused to the hilt of a corroded sword. Its lone eye was bulbous, milky, crusted half-closed. In the cancerous plasma that passed for its flesh, it bore the plague that once swept through the king and queen's long-forgotten kingdom. It salivated virulence. It screamed disease. It died 4 seconds after manifesting. And it died by butchery. Evisceration reduced it to dismantled pieces of dissolving corpus. The demon's remains, an unbinding helix of ectoplasmic slush, burned away to nothing in the filthy air. Its killer was an Astartes warrior in war-cracked plate, with a serrated knife clutched in one fist and a chainsword in the other. Both blades dripped strings of unearthly gore. On his breastplate was a winged skull cast in beaten bronze. This was the Imperialis, the symbol of undiluted loyalty worn throughout the ranks of the warriors still standing. On one of his pauldrons, written in symbolic Enochian script, was the name Nasir Amit. In keeping with all his kind, Amit was, and was not, strictly speaking, a human being. It was more accurate to say the warriors of the Legionis Astartes were a subspecies, ideated from a manipulated vision of the human template. It was most accurate of all to say Amit was barely human in any way that mattered, and more a living weapon of hybridized genecraft, encased in layers of powered ceramite. Some of his kind rebelled against this idea of pure weaponization. Others embraced it. There were adherents of both principles on both sides of the war. Amit was firmly one of the latter. The concerns that burdened humankind were a distraction from the pursuit of his purpose. He'd left his humanity behind as something that bored him. He could see nothing in the dust. Not the laid waste rubble of the palace's skyline to the north, east and south. Not the final barrier of the Delphic battlement to the west. The world was a winter of ash and smoke. The sounds of shelling had been a constant sleep-sucking companion for months on end. And now even the drumbeats of bombardment had fallen quiet, diminished to thick whispers by the ash that choked the air. The ash that was the air. And the extra-dimensional Xenos were here. The creatures. Demons. You know they are demons. Why do you resist that word? Had only rarely manifested within the Palatine Ring. The Emperor in his glory held them back. But no longer. Amit stood in the heart of a world choked by ash and voxed yet again for reinforcements, for reports, and for orders that no longer came. It was the 19th time he'd made the call since Pythia Bastion fell. He hadn't seen another survivor, or even one of the enemy, for hours. Even before the Vox failed, the survivors had known it was over. The Khan was wounded unto death, the ultimate wall had fallen, and the districts of the inner palace with it. They knew, too, what was coming next. It had been repeated 1,000 times and more across the traitors' lines of communication, in a tone of smirking triumph. Horus was ready to make his landing. His herald, Angron, was clearing the final path, ending every life between the ultimate wall and the Eternity Gate. Then the Vox had started to die. Fewer strained voices replied from the other embattled outposts. They offered no aid to each other, giving only recitations of their own straits, some with grim humour, some with pained curses, some with maudlin, naked honesty. The words that crackled back over the decaying voxlinks were variously breathless or taut with the suppression of pain and emotion. Each tone hinted at wounds the speakers wouldn't confess. Gunfire was a backbeat behind every message, and blindness was the unifying factor. Everyone was surrounded. No one could break out, and no one could see a thing. Pythia Bastion fell 3 hours ago. Amit had added his own final report to the Voxweb's audio miasma before abandoning the fortress. He'd been one of the last defenders to leave, with the bastion shaking around him, raining debris as it came to pieces. South, he'd ordered his surviving warriors, and the refugees they were forced to protect. Don't go for Razavi. They're already evacuating there. Make for Golgotha Bastion. If you can't reach Golgotha, run for the Sanctum. For all he knew, he'd sent them to their deaths in the wasteland. No one reliably knew which way was south now anyway. Most instruments projected random directional data and registered the passing of time in random leaps. Two patrols meeting up in the ash would report that it was two different days of the week. Everything was scrambled by the dust, or by interference from the demons, they are demons, from the immaterial Xenos drawn from their reality into this one. Amit didn't pull his helmet off to face the quiet unprotected. Even his gen-hanced lungs struggled with the ash contaminating the air. Instead, he walked along the uneven ground, through the dips and craters that had been roads and plazas and colonnades, all of it churned to meaninglessness by orbital bombardment, by Titan fire, by artillery, by the vanguard warbands of Horus's horde, all of it wrenched up and pulled down in acts of stupid hate. The ground was infected. He was careful where he trod, moving around patches where the earth was plagued with calluses and warts, keeping clear of rippling pools of unwater that stank like cancer. Who had known that marble could sweat pus? Who would ever have guessed that soil could bleed? There was no recovering from this. No matter who won the war, terror would carry this sickness within its core forever. Amit kept walking. He had to link up with one of the convoys. For a time, he was kept company only by the sound of his own footsteps, and by now he was far past tired, deep into a weariness that ate into his bones. When had he last truly slept? A half hour, snatched weeks ago at Gorgon Bar, before the great battle to hold the Saturnine Wall. It felt like another life, one that belonged to someone else. He passed bodies, some of the foe, some of those of his brothers and cousins or the soldiers they'd commanded. Most of them were being claimed by the churned earth, tendrils of unreal matter closing around the dead and fusing them to infected stone. Other bodies were being slowly amalgamated, linked with gluey filth, swelling into masses of necrotic flesh. A garden was growing in the wasteland, filled with fruit that had no right to ripen. On he walked. Amit's targeting reticule drifted unlocked in the nothingscape of white dust. He wasn't looking for living enemies. He was looking for anyone alive at all. These lulls happened in war. Sudden, unearthly silences between protracted hours of battle. Times when even the distant peals of artillery thinned away into dubious silence. And the opposite, too. Sudden explosions of sound and adrenaline between slow rolling hours of nothing. Still, though. Still. An unwelcome notion crept its cold way up his spine. A sense of isolation. That the war was truly over. And he was the only one still alive. The last survivor in humanity's necropolis. This thought was followed by another, that he was dead himself. Perhaps he'd died in battle and now wandered lost in these white wastes. Maybe death had delivered him here, an exile in ashen purgatory. This is Dominion Nasir Amit of the Ninth Legion, south of Pythia Bastion in Palatine. Static. Pythia Bastion has fallen. Static. Is anyone out there? Static. How long had it been since he saw his father? The last time he'd been in the presence of the Emperor's Angel, Sanguinius had been on the edge of exhaustion himself, seeking to fight everywhere at once now that the Khan was gone and Dawn was encircled. Was the Primarch in one of the Palatine bastions now? Organising its defence? Or was he still out there, soaring through the ash in search of foes on the ground? Amit came across more bodies, more humans, dead on the flight from Pythia or one of the other bastions. The dust had already settled over them, covering their radiation burns and shrouding them with a fraction of dignity. One of them had died with his mouth open. It was full now, full of grey powder, and his slack hand rested on the churned stone, his fingers curled an inch from his fallen las rifle. They died so easily, these Imperial Army forces. What was a human, really, but a sack of blood and bone that burst with the merest pressure? But bless them, they could fight. Anyone still alive in the war's last hours was some worthy mix of skilled, resolute and damn lucky. Every rifle counted now, as did every heart that beat behind it. With the front line reduced to fiction, this was enemy territory now. Amit had been in enemy territory more than once during the war, seeing great poles of iron supported by scrap scaffolding sunk into the ground, decorated with the dead. Gallows of detritus stood proud, cradling the forms of executed defenders. Human soldiers, civilians, Astartes warriors, all defiled in death, their corpses chained and flayed, and desecrated in a dozen other ways to draw the black eyes of insane gods. Yet there was no desecration here yet. Whatever killed these fleeing men and women had come from nowhere, quite literally. Amit gazed into the nothing all around, his wearing down armour joints crackling with servo slippage as he panned his head. It was still here. Somewhere. Movement drew his eye. A dead woman's mouth opening. Long fingers curling from between her teeth. A spasm quaking her carcass. Amit moved closer as a horned thing climbed from the pile of dusty dead, birthing itself back into reality, using their deaths as its doorway. They looked at one another, transhuman and monster. The demon was drawn to Amit's presence, suckling on the anger that beat in his two hearts. The red-skinned thing bared its teeth at him, preening atop its mound of the slain. It yelled and lashed its tongue and proclaimed its primacy. It spat its name in a language that humans had no hope of understanding. Amit had heard it all before. He raised both sword and dagger, whirling them slowly to loosen the soreness in his wrists, and started walking forward.